Hello, and welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. This week we're talking about Mutazione, which was released back in September of 2019, developed by Die Gute Fabrik. Is that how you pronounced it, Madeline?
Close enough.
Close enough. Also published by that same developer, and as well as Acapara Games, platformed on PS4, Linux, PC, and Mac. A little summary of the game is a mutant soap opera where small-town gossip meets the supernatural. Explore the Mutazione community as Kai, as she cares for her ailing grandfather. Discover magical gardens, new friends, and cold secrets. They can survive an apocalyptic meteor strike, but can they survive their small-town drama? Dun-dun-dun. For those of you listening, for each of our recordings, each of our podcasts, we do a little intro question along with saying, like, who we are. That way you can know who you're listening to, as well as kind of get to know us better, I guess, you know, in this intimate podcast setting. This week's intro question, and all of our questions always have to do with the game that we're discussing, this week's is, if you could pick an anchor, what anchor would you pick to anchor you while exploring the spirit world? Starting at the top. Frank?
This is Franco. You know, I was thinking some sort of wrist beads, but then I had, I did it one better. I said, D&D dice, a wrist thing of D&D dice.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Like a little fanny pack for your wrist that holds D&D.
Well, yeah, just one dice each, like a D20, a D12, D10, D8, and D4 would be kind of tricky. That would dig in, I think.
Hey, yeah.
And a D6, of course.
You know, what is the phrase I'm thinking of, like, to be, like, you don't have to be comfortable. Style isn't comfort. I don't know. Something
like that. Yeah.
I know you get that. Styling. All right. Thank you. And next.
Hey, this is Madeline. Mm-hmm. I would probably pick something dinosaur-y. I have a lot of dinosaur stuff around my house. As boring as it is, I would probably pick my badge reel for work. That has a little green sparkly T-Rex on it.
Ooh, I like it. Very nice. Cool. Thank you. And next?
Is that me?
Sure, you can go.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not going to have much to say.
I know, but go ahead.
I'll stay in it anyway. This is Chris, and I would probably have to pick one of my N64 games.
I love it.
Trying to think. Probably either Star Fox 64 or one of the San Francisco Rush games, probably.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Yes. Thank you. This is Steph. I'm like zoning out as I'm trying to think about something. I guess, it would probably be something like a sketchbook or like a pencil. Yeah. Yeah. I can't really think of anything else. I mean, honestly, my first thought was, I do. This is so weird. I have an original Furby, and I saw it sitting over on my shelf, and I was like, "That would be a really funny like anchor, like just my Furby." You know, I mean, if it's something that's kind of meaningful to who I am, it'd probably be like a sketchbook or a pencil. My Furby does not make me. I was not formed by my Furby. All right, cool. Excellent. Thank you all so much. Again, we're talking about Mutazione. We're talking about specifically chapters 5 through 8. We talked about chapters 1 through 4 last week. You can catch that at thegamechat.net. Catch that awesome recording that I unfortunately missed out on. So let's see. You guys probably talked about systems last week. There weren't really, I mean, as far as I could tell, because I played through some of the first 4 chapters today, there wasn't any like mechanical changes other than like adding new gardens and new plants. So we'll go right into story. So for chapter 5, Swamp Island, Well, you start out with you're taking the boat ride with Mew and Tongue through this. I freaking love the abandoned building scenery. Like, So listeners are aware, I've already told the chatters that, like, I tried really hard to get through this, like, all of this game today, but just certain things happened and it took a little bit longer than expected. So I unfortunately didn't get to play chapter 7 or 8. I think I caught a little bit of the explanation. Like, was the explanation still that they were kind of unsure, like, what happened? Like, why? Like, that it used to be, like, because they kept passing, like, resort places, like, that were under these vines and, like, half-sunken into water. Did they ever give, like, a full explanation for that?
So, it was that there was a massive...
meteor?
Asteroid, yeah, the meteor that caused all the mutations and then...
Okay.
Decimated a lot of the land and
okay, that makes sense.
It didn't change. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't quite put the. I mean, I knew about the meteors. I knew that that was what caused the mutations. I hadn't quite fit the two together of like that's also what happened to the buildings.
Mm-hmm. That's something that this game does differently because I think most other games would have focused on like. Kind of what the scientists in this game focus on, like, oh my gosh, the meteor and all these weird changes and la la la. And that's more like backseat to just like the interpersonal story.
Drama.
What's going on here? Yeah.
Absolute drama. Yes. And so then you get to hang out on the little island with Mew and Tongue for a bit while Tongue fishes and Mew kind of hangs out in the tree with you. Anything to talk about here? Like, I mean, the conversation was pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
This was like right after the aftermath of like, playing as Kai had just found out about Tongue being the father of Aelin's baby.
Yeah.
And which he didn't know yet. And then also was this the day after you found out about Mew's history or was this the day after the whole like, oh no, it was the day after Mew playing the song in the bar that
for Claire and Spike.
Had wrote for Claire and completely like destroying that situation, unfortunately, even though she was just trying her best to just put these two together and oh man. So I mean I as a player was a little awkward. I mean, I felt awkward like riding in the boat with these two, just like with everything that happened the day before, everything I'd find out the day before. I was like, well, water sure is nice, huh?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Spend some time out there, head back, and again, if I skip over anything, please just jump in. After you head back, you go and check on Tongue, I don't remember what he was working on. It wasn't his boat, because his boat was finished. His boat was finished.
Oh, yeah, but
he was still doing some stuff for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you start the Wonderlust Garden. I had trouble arranging this one.
Yeah, that was a tough garden.
This is probably my second favorite, honestly. Just because I felt like it has them compared to some of the other gardens. I liked the separate pond that was off the side, as opposed to a couple of them was either just like open water on the edge of the ocean, or like a couple of pots of water. I liked having a big, not that I put much in it, but I liked having the separate. I liked the way this one was laid out.
It was laid out nice. I had trouble because I wanted all the plants to be seen. So mm-hmm. I had trouble like laying it out to where everything was seen. Because there were some plants like that could only go in that middle area. Mm-hmm. And then I probably spent the most time like rearranging that one afterwards, which probably ate up a good like 15 minutes of my game time there. All because I want things to look pleasing to the eye, or at least partially pleasing to the eye. So after that, I have as a note, I think the next big thing that I had was talking to Aline and her decision about you kind of walk into the salon when she's telling Claire about that she was going to tell Grob and Tongue the next day. Or no, it was later. Night. It was that evening, yeah. About what
situation.
Or no, I think she told Claire that she was going to tell Grob because Claire didn't know about Tongue yet. So I guess it was just her saying that she was going to tell Grob about it.
She was going to tell Grob that she wasn't going to stay with him. But she hadn't told Claire yet, "Oh, I'm pregnant with your son's kid."
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then let's see here. And you go and talk to Yoke. He told you about the scientists and how they were very, I have down as cold when they visited. Like they were very like they saw them
clinical.
As a study. Clinical, yeah. Saw them as things to study than like things people. To interact with and people. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
But you know, that was Kai was a little seemed a little taken aback by that because that was her you know, that was her grandfather and grandmother, you know, that was a part of that. So
mm-hmm.
And then I think it's right after this that Grandpa breaks it to you that he wants to visit the spirit world, that he wanted you to visit the spirit world with him.
Yeah, to start getting ready. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
that you have to do two more gardens for him. And then after we do the gardens, then we'll later that night, that's a nighttime trip to the spirit world.
No big deal. No big deal. Just visit the spirit world with me.
It's
not a big thing.
NBD.
And then you step into the salon after that, and he over here, Ellen telling Grob about, because Grob was in the process of getting her name tattooed on him.
Yes.
Talk about bad timing.
Because like Aileen was doing it. And then for those listening, Aileen was doing the tattoo and she was like, "Well, you haven't even told me what you want me to like put on here yet." And he was like, "My love." And he was like, "Yeah, but what image?" And he was like, "Your name and something else." And
you're the anchor of my life.
Oh, the anchor, right. Oh, and I thought for a second, because he was like, because I felt like that he was.
Yeah, kind of phrasing was odd. You hold me down. Yeah.
Well, and I kind of thought that he was, I'm not sure. I feel like that he was saying that he was going to like he was willing to stay there and not.
Right.
yeah, you know, with her.
Like he was coming around to that idea.
That was the whole thing, was that like, or you know, it seemed like in the beginning that was the whole thing of like that Ellie and like was like she didn't want to be, you know, just on a boat kind of, or you know, or not in a boat, but like
in the suburb. Yeah.
And then like living in a picket fence while he's gone all the time because he's fishing. So yeah, and then Ellie told him that she didn't want to be with him anymore.
And it's not your baby.
And it's not your baby, right? Yes, correct. It's Tongues, the who works for you and is
sorry.
That was that. I will say, I mean, I know that y'all talked about that last week, but like that was definitely a surprise for me. Not expecting that in the least. I was like, oh, okay. Like, all right. But you know, one thing that I love about this game is that like the dialogue. The effing dialogue in this game is so spot on that I can't even, like, I cannot even, like, it, like, so spot on in every situation. I mean, I don't think, I mean, of course, you have, like, the silly little, like, dots and the Cheeto people, I don't know what they're called.
The worms.
Sausage.
Like Cheetos. Things.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, and of course you have those silly, like, little conversations here and there, and, but, like, man, some of these, like, real, like, some of these conversations, these serious conversations were so raw that, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when things ramp up, it seems like the conversations even get better.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah.
It's more cringe at the beginning, but I feel like they land every single conversation. Yeah. It's done really well.
Yeah. And just like the character interactions, like how they respond to each other, like in conversation. And I'm just, yeah. Yeah, that was really, that's extremely impressive to me.
Yeah,
this is a foreign studio, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has to be. It has to be just. I mean, and well, then like not only like the dial. I mean, not only then like the writing them, but also like whoever like translated it to English. Like, I mean,
yeah. I was wondering that they did it. Did they do it originally in a foreign tongue and then brought it to English, or did they write it?
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe.
I don't know. So I played it in British English. Just for funsies.
Oh, interesting.
There really wasn't that much stuff that I'd like. Most of the stuff I was like, okay, that still makes sense as an American.
Yeah.
There's only like one or two phrases where I was like, I can kind of see what you're going for.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's interesting that they have something for that. Like just, you know.
Just for written dialogue, yeah.
It's still English, but it, you know, phrasing and stuff. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really cool. Anyway, sorry, I went off on a rabbit trail, but I just...
It was at this point, it was just like, all of a sudden, I sort of like flashed to the foretelling, I guess, with Tongue and his Italian soap operas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yep. Well, yeah, I didn't like go and visit Tongue and the Italian soap operas until I found out about Tongue. So... I didn't have any foretelling on that. I didn't witness it until I actually, because like I didn't, because of how I was playing today and I knew that I was like strapped for time. I didn't seek out a lot of things, unfortunately. And so it wasn't until I went to check on Claire one evening. It was because of all that stuff that happened. So I think it was on this chapter. I went to check on Claire in the evening and I saw the light on and the lights kind of going off from the television in that building that he lives in. And I went back and checked and he was watching his Italian soap operas.
Yeah. If you go early on, you can go like, I think just the first, you know, just twice, you know, that time and then another time, you know, the first two nights you can go and check in on him watching the Italian soap operas. And after that, not so much. I don't think there's much else going on.
Yeah.
He's usually at the bar or doing something else.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. And then, Mew and Spike, they had their whole, like, during the day, they had lunch that, you know, in chapter six. Which I unfortunately, like, I watched a quick play, I was scrubbing through the chapter in a playthrough to, like, I mean, not chapter six, chapter five, we're still on. I watched a quick playthrough, and they went and checked in on them at Maury's while I guess they were having their lunch, which I didn't do, unfortunately. But yeah,
You didn't. They weren't really talking to each other at that point, so you didn't miss much. Maury's just like,
yeah, pass the salt kind of conversations.
Oh. Yeah, yeah,
man, oh man.
Yeah, they Maury's were kind of icy at that point. Yeah.
Uh huh. Oh. Maury's like, Can I get you guys anything else?
Yeah.
My heart
should dropped. I leave?
Right.
My heart dropped at the end of chapter four, whatever all that was happening.
Oh yeah, and when, like, Spike was like, get out.
And Claire like had ran out and Spike was like, what did I do wrong? And Mew's like, oh, well, I'm sure she's fine or something. He was like, no, what did I do wrong in raising you? And I was like, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Yep. Yep. Drop the bomb. Yeah. I am very disappointed in you. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Man. The drama. The drama. And then, that evening you have, I think it's what their Friday night is, concert? Is that what they call
band
it?
Night. Or
band mm-hmm. night. That's it.
Which I loved.
Yeah. You know, some nice, like, loud music and, you know, and then,
Dennis love is watching. Totally,
I love
totally dancing.
Oh, I love that dance.
Yeah. Dennis is dancing.
The worms are dancing. Everybody's dancing.
Yeah, and then, well, except for Grob. Grob is not dancing. Grob's crying into
his... Drowning his sorrows in
and
rum.
Then you have, like, what is his name? Bopek?
Bopek being the bartender. Bopek
working the bar, and I'm like, I don't know. I feel like...
Because he's a Dot, right? Technically, he's a Dot, I think. Or a big Dot or something.
I thought he was related to the Dots as well, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, like, but I think he's also, like, everyone refers to him as, like, a little bit younger. So, like, I was like, I don't know if he should be, but okay, cool. And then Grob was crying into, like, his mug.
Mm-hmm.
And, things kind of go downhill from there.
Yeah.
With Grob telling, he was like, I had to tell them because he didn't want people to think that he was just leaving and leaving his baby. And so he was like, so I don't want them to think badly of me, so I'm going to spill the secret, and just goes in there to the concert and just pulls the plug and is like, and just spills it all to the people there.
To everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah. Not just that, yeah, it's not his, that whose baby it is.
And Tong has not been told by Aelin yet. So.
Right. Tong has not been talked to by Aelin.
Honestly, they handle it super amicably compared to how I thought that was going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. When they were talking later, like after everyone left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, the next day there were some, like, I think that was because of anyway, we can talk about that. But, like, no, I agree. I agree. I thought for sure that, that it was not going to end. I thought for sure Grob was just going to leave, you know, and just like, well, I need to go. I need to go fishing. I'd be gone for like ever.
Mm-hmm.
I kept wanting to push Dennis out of the bar because, like, after in that point, because I was like, he was just making things worse.
Yeah.
Being like, you just need to leave. Like, you just need to head out, please. Like, the rest of us are trying to help the situation. You are not. And I think that's pretty much, I mean, I think, like, you might talk to a couple people afterwards. That's it. Claire, of course, ran out after because, you know, Tongue's her son, so she was a bit surprised. So we go into chapter 6, the ritual, where Grandpa asks you to, I remember what he wants you to make friends with the dots, and so you go up there and end up working on the euphoric garden.
Because the crows eat all their berries.
Correct. The crows eat all of the berries. I love that Kai could understand what they're saying, even though they're can't.
Nick-a-book.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like replying to them, and I'm like, and you get a choice in your reply. And I'm like, I don't, sure. We'll just go with the top one. Yeah, that sounds fine. Super cute. Super cute. And then you go down to talk to Jelly about the otherworldly. Well, about he needs what is the euphoric? It's like
crap.
No, that's later.
It's a actual, like, the thing that he's asking for is like a class of drugs. But it's basically, it's like a scraping off of a mushroom.
Okay.
The object that you end up getting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I've had a glass of wine. It's been 2 days since I played this part.
It's all right. But eventually, you know, onto the drama part, you mm-hmm. have Spike and Claire planning their date, so you can talk to Vicky, go into the bar, and Spike's talking with Mew about things that he can do, and
yeah, they're having actually like a practice date.
They are, yes.
What if my pants fall off?
Is that a disaster? Spike, anyways. Really fun. If you go over and talk to Claire in her boat, can I just say how super cute it is that they're like that their boats are right beside each other, and that every morning he goes swimming naked.
Yeah, yeah. He's having all these worries, yet every morning he like doffs his towel and just.
I love it so much. I pegged this. From the start.
Aww.
And I stand it so much. So Claire's Bopec is helping her make baskets. And one actually like is making a like well later, I didn't really understand it when it was happening, but in the date later, she tells Spike that Bopec made the basket and said that one of the weaves was Claire, one of the weaves was Spike. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. Oh my gosh. I love that. Love it.
And it was gonna be for the baby, for Aelin and Tongue's baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super sweet.
And Tongue decides, you know, makes his plans known that he wants to fish on the outer reefs, I think. Because up until this point, he's been working for Grob. So you kind of come across him having a conversation with Grob on chapter 6, telling him about wanting to fish. And so, of course, Grob is like, I can kind of understand his reaction of like, so wait, let me just get this straight. First you take my girl and now you're taking my business.
Yeah, kind of. That's the kind of reaction he's having, yeah. But it turned out kind of better than I thought. I thought it was going to come to like really nastiness, but it's sort of like they just stopped talking, I guess.
Yeah.
Grob found other fish fairly quickly, it seems
like. Oh my goodness.
Like 2 days later.
Yeah. Let's see, Tongue, Dennis, and Mori discussing, Tongue's plans. Oh yeah, you come up on their conversation with Tongue, Dennis, and Mori discussing like Dennis is telling him, well, you'll need to do this. You'll need to check out the boat. You'll need to test the waters first. And I thought that was a really interesting family conversation, a very family-like conversation of parentals and or grandparents, I guess. Is Dennis more of a dad to him or a grandparent? Is he?
I think more of a dad.
More of a dad. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Because earlier on in the game, Tongue asks Dennis to come and look at the boat and give him some pointers when he's starting to figure out what he wants to do with it. And Dennis is like, I'd be honored, lad. Honored. And I was like,
oh. So cute. Yeah, because Mori kind of, at least in my opinion, kind of flirts with Yoke.
Oh, yes.
They have a, I don't know if it's...
An understanding.
Yeah. An understanding, There's some, it's fun to listen in on their conversations in the evenings when they're rocking outside the bathhouse. Oh my goodness. And then we get a peek on Spike and Claire's date. As they're, out by the lighthouse. I mean, nothing. It's just cute. It's just adorable.
Yeah.
It's just very wholesome. Like, talking about how nervous they were that day and that they couldn't really think about anything, they're just so nervous about the date that evening. And then there's silence. They're like, so how,
Yep. Super cute.
Oh my goodness. Oh, was it earlier that day that they had the awkward boat conversation where they were standing in the boat and he was like, should I start over? With his I don't remember.
Yeah, it was that morning. Yeah, that morning.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. And then he went swimming naked again. She was like, my cheeks hurt from grinning so much.
Oh, it was so cute.
All right, so and then you go and talk to Yoke and eventually Mew, and they're both very worried about this ritual your grandfather is wanting you to do. Both have very good points. I mean, I understand their worry.
Yeah.
It does seem pretty quick, and it does seem like a pretty wild proposition. And also Kai's fairly young. Did she ever say her age? Is it
For some reason, I'm 17, 18. That's what.
Oh, you think it's that? Okay.
Well, I thought she was younger than that.
I thought she was maybe 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, swim camp. So she's probably still maybe.
I was going to say somewhere between middle and high school, close to that border.
Yeah. Okay. One thing I have to say, except for someone oh God, I always forget. Except for Yoke and your grandfather, grandfather. Yeah, I had trouble gauging people's ages, and I know that that's partially probably because they're mutants, and it's just hard. It's not a person I'm looking at, but I thought at first, I was thinking there for a while that because again I played most of the game today, I thought that that Mew was a teenager for some reason. And then when you find out that she had a husband and the children, and I was okay, so she's a bit older. I thought Claire was younger then, and because I think I kind of forgot because I played the first hour of the game 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I kind of forgot beginning details. And so I forgot that Claire was Tongue's mother there for a bit. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking Claire was like younger than she was. Mm-hmm.
And Claire was friends with your mom too.
Yes, correct.
Or Mia's mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that because I thought it was I guess, and again, like it goes along with like the story, like the game's writing, like it was a very real thing. Like in the beginning, when you come to the island, when Kai comes to the island and you mm-hmm. go and visit Claire and she can't even talk to you because she's crying because you remind her of her mother so much.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah. I was like, oh, that's really
sweet. A real thing.
Yeah. So yeah. But I remember that. Yeah, and so then I think you pretty much go back to Grandpa and you start the ritual that night. And things start going down. I will say that this is the part I did watch this and to the end of chapter 6. So I don't have as much personal experience with this part, but mm-hmm. it seemed pretty crazy. You saw some pretty crazy things. Now, what did... I didn't catch this because I was kind of scrubbing. What did Nano and Kai pick for their anchor? Did they have to pick something?
So you go up to the dots, and the dot shaman gives you an anchor.
Oh, is that the feather? Like a feather of sorts mm-hmm. or something?
It's kind of wild.
Yeah. She gives him, I guess, where do you get the skull? I think Nano gives you a skull as a gift. Yeah.
Okay.
To give to the shaman. Shaman takes a bone and like wraps the skull and gets like a tone for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then has Kai get on her knees. He taps her skull to get a, like tries to get a matching tone for her skull.
Oh God. But when she finally smacks the deer skull, which I thought was really interesting, is when she's like, okay, you get this feather. Which I kind of thought that the anchor or the totem would have had more to do with like your relationship with the island or with people mm-hmm. on the island or with whoever your spirit guardian ended up being. But
you did see the deer earlier in the game, like when she was walking.
When she was heading to the swing hole. Yeah.
And I didn't catch until like later on when you see the deer again and you realize the significance. I was like, oh, that's why when the shaman hit the deer skull, then she was like, oh, okay, you get this one.
Yeah.
I didn't even get the deer skull part. I just, we knew the deer was kind of special from the swimming hole part, but
mm-hmm.
we didn't know why.
If you don't mind, I'd like to go back just a little bit.
No, please.
Yoke, whenever you're talking to him about, hey, Nono wants to take me on this spirit mm-hmm. journey, I really think we're just going to like meditate a little bit and, you know, take some LSD and then fall asleep. Like that's all it's going to be.
Yeah.
And he is like, he kind of like loses it for a second. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this isn't even your grandfather's tradition to share with you. Like, this is something that comes from the mutants here on the island. And it's something that's really like the game talks a little bit about, but didn't really get into. Like this parallels like the idea that like white people, that's kind of like the modern day colonizations that we want to go in and study things that are not white. And then like take them on as part of our own spiritual journey. But not have anything to do with the rest of, you know, the traditions, and that's not something that the culturally we come from. And I think that Nano didn't completely do that because, like, obviously he lived on the island and he was living with the people, and even after his family left, he stayed. But at the same time, like, that's a legitimate anger, I think, for mm-hmm. Yoke to have that, like, this isn't even his tradition, and for some reason he feels like that he's the one that has to carry it on. Yeah. And he's the one who gets to pass it on, and he's passing it on to someone who isn't a mutant.
Yeah, and he's not even planning to stay there.
Yeah, and I think that's legitimate anger.
Yeah,
I think that, and some of it was also what happened with RD, his son.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That like his son trained with Nono for like a year and then like went off the deep end. And then Nono has been halfway talking to you for 4 days. And then he's like, all right, we're going to get high and go talk to some ghosts.
Yeah.
And Yoke's like, what?
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's really neat that the game included that, because they've made some other nods to, like, you know, we're post in the society, at least, like, we're post money and we don't use fossil fuels anymore, because nobody on the whole planet uses fossil fuels anymore. But it's neat that they also gave a nod to that, like, hey, this is a thing that happened. This is a thing that's still happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You see some crazy things at the ritual, which is both mostly like everything that everything bad for Kai's grandfather. It has the picture of the scientists, a picture of Mew and her husband and the children, like, happy at their house that was outside across the way from the archives. And then it was the house on fire and the deranged cat in the foreground, more of a cartoonish cat, but I'm assuming that represents Mew's husband.
Yeah.
Losing it. And then I think it pretty much cuts to Mew finding you, because the grandfather starts phasing out. Like, you're standing there, the grandfather starts phasing out as you're looking at the pictures, and then I think
Kai's it cuts. Then Kai wakes up out of it, but Grandpa's still passed on the floor, but eyes wide open, passed out. And then Mew finds you, and not good.
Yeah. I thought that was. I watched this a bit through, and I thought that was the game hits it out of the park in these very intense, dramatic situations of Mew talking to you and being like, go and talk to Yoke. You go and talk to Yoke. And I loved Yoke's advice to her of just being just tell Mori, she's over at the temple. She'll make sure everyone knows and they'll take care of you. The village, we will take care of you. And then telling her to call her mother to let her know what's happening. And he says, I think, to ask her, that she needs to come here.
And Kai's like, everybody's acting like dad's about or grandpa's about to die. Like, should I be worried? And no one will give her a straight answer.
So moving into chapter 7, unfortunately, this is one that I did not get to play that much. So, Madeline, do you want to kind of lead this chapter for us?
Sure. You go talk to Mori, and Mori's like, Nono told me this song. Well, Mori's like, obviously, this is an awful thing that happened to you. Yes. I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of. Mm-hmm. But then she also says, Nono taught me this song whenever I lost my husband, and said that, the matriarchal figure that taught them all of these songs that was their leader right after the asteroid or meteor, whatever, this is one of their songs, and this is the final song. So you plant the spooky garden over by the temple, which I was trying to figure out where the final garden was going to be.
Yeah, I was wondering that myself. Yeah.
I was almost thinking that it was going to be out past the temple.
The ruins. Yeah, that's the first place I went. I wandered for about 10 minutes. I thought for sure it was going to be out like by the ruins or something where that temple was.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, damn, where? It's like, then I finally, all right, let me go watch the walkthrough. Oh, it's back down by the shopping mall. Okay.
It's right here.
Okay. Yeah.
So you get the final garden. And
then you have a vision again.
Yep. Then you have another vision. And then is it right after this?
You pass out. Yeah.
Yeah. The papu tree is like absolutely huge and blooming, and it's like magic weird tree snow.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is like super happy and excited. And there's a couple other little things going on in the village. Like you go check on Nono in his house. Miu's taking care of him. And for somebody that is as young as she is and as she acts, Miu is like super heavy at times.
Yeah.
She says like, tell yourself it's not your fault, so that maybe eventually you can believe it. And I was like, holy hell, Miu, you slay me. Like,
yeah.
I'm a 14-year-old girl. Like,
yeah.
The hell. But because Kai has had this vision with the rhyme from this weird raven creature, she's like, okay, I knew this poem and I talked to Yoke about it, and this is what we think it means, so that now that Papu the tree is blooming, I know what I have to do. So she takes, after she talks to her mom, she takes the flowers down into this weird area underneath. You go
where
down
the centipede was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See Jella and into the tunnel where the centipede was. I was really expecting to see some centipedes down when she was walking through there, but there was no centipedes. And sees this giant mushroom down underneath and gives the mushroom the flower from Papu. And even though this wasn't a huge theme with the game throughout, it makes sense for this being like the quote unquote solution for the whole fixing the island biome, I feel like, because it's life from death and death from life. So when you can grow enough different varieties in the garden, then the papu tree blooms. And then you take the flowers from the papu tree and bring it down to the fung, the big mother fungus down underneath. And you feed the life to the death, and the death feeds the life. And then we have this synchronicity between the entire biome from the island. And at that point, then there is balance. The whole time Russell, the weird anteater thing, and Dennis have been like reading different layouts. Basically data from like soil samples and growth factors and all this other stuff on the papu tree, and they've been trying to get it back healthy, and all that needed to be healthy was just basically a broader
balance.
A broader balance than they were getting. And once you finally strike that balance, then you see like Kai sees her mom leaving the dock to come and go visit Nono on his, what we think then is his deathbed. She sees kind of like, I think she sees other people on the island.
Yeah, as well. Sees Tong in his garden. Sees Miu in her little swimming hole.
Mm-hmm.
Has a weird revelation. She sees the meteor hit.
Mm-hmm.
So she's sort of like leaning up against the mushroom. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going through it now. And
and she sees her dad, I think, at one point as well.
Yeah, I'm still wondering who is the guy in the Sky Garden.
That's so. I got that in my dialogue options later on that was her dad.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you know, it's because Miu later on asks, "Did you see RD?" And that's what I originally thought it might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah. She says, Kai tells someone when she's talking about her dad earlier on, she says that she imagines him up in a sky garden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then later on in chapter 8, when she's talking to, I think it is Miu about this, she says, like, I didn't even, like, it wasn't real to me that he was dead since I think he died in an airplane crash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't get much like physical closure in that regard. Yeah. She's like, it wasn't really real to me that he was dead until I saw him like in a quote unquote afterlife, I guess, as it was.
Yeah. Okay.
In the Sky Garden for that.
And then she sees her Patreon, her deer.
And then she sees her deer. Yeah, absolutely. And then she's like, okay, show me how to get out. And on her way out, they find Nano in a boat with his spirit, the weird crow thing.
Right, the crow. This crow creature you've been seeing is actually Nanu's spirit.
Which as soon as I saw, I was like, I should have called this.
Yep, I should. Yeah, same thing. When I saw damn, I should have picked that up.
Oh, the tall crow thing was Nanu, was Nanu's spirit animal. Or spirit creature, I guess.
Spirit guide, yep.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And Kai talks to Nano and says, like, hey, it's time to go back. Like, you've had enough time here. You need to go back. And he's like, no, I belong here because I was trying to fix things and I messed everything up. And she's like, stop making this about you. This is why it's messed up in the first place. And he's like, you know what? You're right. And so then they go back.
Yep. She convinces him it's, you know, it's not about, you know.
Yeah, which kind of goes along with the whole, like, that he was part of the scientist team that came there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So basically that's, I mean, yeah, they go back and, you know, they find, I guess they, apparently, what, a couple days go by because she's been passed out in the forest somewhere and they finally find her?
Yep. And she finally wakes up. For like a day and a half, I think she's been missing and everybody's been looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
She wakes up and Nono wakes up and mom is there and kind of have like a, this is the denouement, the wrapping up kind of all the everything.
Yeah. It's the rest of the game is just sort of like, the whole epilogue sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you gather everybody for the last chapter is simply doing a round robin, going around talking to everybody and gathering everybody for a picture at the end.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I made sure I was wondering about the worms. Oh, yeah, the worms and the dots, everybody, you know?
Yep.
Everybody. So does it show Kai and her mother leaving, Kai and Gaia leaving?
It talks about it. I don't think it shows it. I think the final thing is like the group photo. But Kai and her mom are gonna go. Kai is gonna go back to school. She's gonna write everybody on the island a whole bunch, and she plans to come back and visit during the summers.
Bring Kobe back, or Kobe, or
yeah, they're
back to meet the dots.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nice.
What else? Oh, I forgot. Just the one little side thing back in chapter 6. Bopak gets to catch his monster fish.
Yay! He says that he caught it because he sang the song and the fish heard the song so that he came. I know. Bopak is probably my favorite.
Yeah, I don't know. The worms were up there. The worms were great.
Awesome. I'll have to go in. Yeah, it got to points where like I could have probably rush through to finish everything, but I didn't want to, like, it was getting to a point where I was like, I can't talk to anyone except who I'm supposed to talk to, and it was slightly killing me inside. So yeah,
it was there was a ton of dialogue. I mean, like, when we talked about the first four chapters, me and Madam were like, you know, you got into a rhythm where it was like, okay, you didn't even look at your book until, like, at every section of the day, like midday, morning, afternoon. You made the rounds, talked to everybody, see what was going on with everybody, and then you, like, knocked off the things in your journal.
Yeah. Awesome. I know you guys, it was on the list from last week, but did your favorite characters change? I know that you mentioned the Bo Peck. You liked Bo Peck, Madeline.
I do like Bo Peck. I think, I don't know that he really changed a whole lot over the course of the game. Bo Peck is, but we did get a little bit more backstory on him. I think during Claire and Spike's date, I think that's when it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're talking about
him. Yeah.
Bo Peck, and that he's, like, a foundling.
Yeah.
So, like, Bo Peck doesn't have blood relations on the island.
Yeah.
At least that we know about. And so he's been a kid mutant orphan, basically, that they're just raising as a village.
Yeah.
Which raises a lot of interesting questions about who and what all else is going on the island that's outside the village.
Yeah,
for sure.
Actually, watching a little bit more with you, Steph, it was like, I really, you know, it's like Maury is like the glue that holds the island. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I guess, I think my fate, I really, really liked Mew.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of cool.
I loved her complex. I mean, all the characters were complex, but there was, I mean, you know, you find this, like, complete, like, horrible death to her, you know, to her story. And then I just love that, like, she's, you know, that she listens to, like, the loud, like, it has her listening to loud music at nighttime sometimes, and
mm-hmm.
she's just up there jamming away. And, you know, I really liked her as a character. And of course I stood, Spike's and Claire's story. that was just adorable. I mean, there were so many. I mean, there wasn't a character that I didn't like. I don't think there's any character that I was like, eh, you know. But yeah. Frank, what about you? What was your favorite character? Oh, the whole game.
You know, just for laughs, I love the worms and their marketing plans. They finally came up with a marketing plan at the end. I forget what it was. At the very, when they're doing the photo, they talk about it. And I forget what it was.
Oh, yes.
Postcards.
Postcards. Yes. They wouldn't use postcard. They were using.
They couldn't figure out what to call them.
Yeah, because they're talking about the picture and it's like, oh, yeah, we can do a da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Picture that you can mail and write on that requires no envelope or something like that, but, like, all hyphenated.
Yeah. or even, like, jelly. And his little, like, 50s pad down in the cave.
Yes.
And
he doesn't sleep. He sort of just, like, sits there and germinates, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes he's science jelly.
Just digests.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Is there anything that you would have liked to have seen more of or heard more of about in the game? Like, seen more backstory on or gotten more explanation about?
When you go to the watering hole with Mew.
Yes.
She says that the ruins all there on the other side of the temple are all, like, a cool place to explore and you should explore more. And I went there several times hoping I would find some kind of little secret thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no little, like, even like one little secret thing would have been nice. But Kai just, like, commented on the bicycle every time I walked by it.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I just want like one little hidden secret thing to find by myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was not, unfortunately, that was not to be.
Yeah. I had, I mean, this has nothing to do with the with what I was asking, but like I had the hardest, like I had to look at a walkthrough for how to find the entrance into the watering hole to meet Mew.
Oh, really?
Like I kept, and I know it was probably just me not being able to like I must have just completely like not, I think I was taking the mouse along the edges of the screen instead of like into the background. And I might have passed it like really quickly along the entire background and didn't notice the arrow. I went back and forth in that area like 4 times, like went all the way to the end, went all the way back into town, or at least to the archives, went back, and I finally was like, I just need to look this up. And when I did, I was like, I was literally standing in front of it. Like,
oh, no.
I was like, oh, it's right there. And then, like, there was another one. Thankfully, Frank, because I streamed this today, and Frank was in the chat with the vines climbing up to the tree. I don't think there was an arrow there. And so you just had to, like, click on it. But I wasn't understanding that. So at first, I was like, I don't know where this, like, where do I go? Like, where do I...
Yeah, watching you on a PC today, and you know, the PS4 is definitely easier, it seemed to me.
Oh yeah.
Like the only things that lit up on the PS4 were like the dialogues and the arrows.
Okay.
So you just sort of like move the cursor around and wait till you got it, or the hand to pick a flower. So you just sort of like, you know, there was definitely, you had all these little points showing up. I'm like, boy, that's annoying.
Yeah, I think that was where I was using a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could have used like, I think like WASD and probably not have gotten that, but it was just laziness on my part. yeah. Frank, did you have anything that you would want to have wanted to kind of had more explanation on, or?
Not so much that. It was just like the gardens was a great idea, but I wish it was like a little less plants and a little bigger gardens. Like a lot of those plants were just fluff. I mean, were just there. And
you're supposed to make it look pretty, Frank.
Exactly. But I always found myself cramming, you know, spending time trying to cram all my seeds into the garden. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And it was like, you know, just if you made these gardens a little bit more flexible, you would have had more room to arrange things, because you almost had to like see all the plants and say, okay, here are the big ones. I got to put the big ones in the back because when they blossom, I don't want them blocking everything out, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it would have been nice. I feel like for some of the gardens you had, like you need to grow this specific plant for this person because they need it for this reason, or even just like the black water lilies in Miu's garden, just because it's her favorite flower. But then like, I think for the last 3 gardens, it was just like, okay, just fill it with all of these types of flowers. Because these are the ones that go in this type of garden. It would have been nice if you had, and again, that probably would have like lengthened the game. But like if you are kind of taking on Nono's role, as he tells you later on, like kind of felt like I had a week to live and I needed to get you to figure everything out in that week. It would have been nice if you're like, okay, you're complaining about this, and then it like made you like, if you looked up in your guidebook, then it was like, okay, I have these plants that help with that. Would you like some of this? Like,
exactly.
That would have been,
you know, at first when I got the book, that's what I thought we were going to be doing. It's like, oh boy, we're going to have to be looking up, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I basically never used the book.
Nope.
I didn't either. No.
Mm-mm.
As you know, there was a lot of effort that went into that book. I mean,
yeah.
And it was like, geez, you never really got to use it because A, it was so big. There were so many plants.
And you couldn't, like, if it was a physical book, I could, like, thumb back to the 3/4 of the way through and read through it. But because it's a digital book in this weird emulator, there was no option for that. I had to click on the next arrow every time. Mm-hmm. To get a single page through.
So that could be an option for the physical copy that they'll do limited run on, to have a book, to have this book actually printed.
Make tabs, like, yes. This is the A's, this is the C's, like, whatever. Yeah. That would have been excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get a chance to, and probably Steph didn't get a chance to either. Did you, Madeline, build a sky garden?
I didn't. I would like to go back and do it, but... since I finished the game, it'll make me start a new game all over, and I don't know if it'll give me...
Well, you can go everything. Right to Gardens, can't you?
Yeah, I can. I need to see if it'll let
Which
me...
Which I was reading. They,
all the way
they,
in with all of the seeds.
That was an after effect. That was an afterthought. They didn't have that in the original game.
What, going back to the Gardens or the Sky Garden?
Going back to be able to... like
to in gardens the, from the main menu.
Yeah, just to your gardens from the main menu, yeah, instead of walking around.
And because it is very, I could have just like sat in the gardens and listened to the music the plants made for a while. Mm-hmm. Like
I like that the plants. I was just noticing watching you that each plant, not you know, just with the, you know, the effects and everything, also had an instrument associated with it.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. Well, an instrument or like a sound. Like one of them was like airport.
I didn't even see that.
I was like, okay, all right, that's cool.
Maybe for the Sky Garden.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember what that one was associated with, but yeah, super interesting. Yeah, I liked that. I kind of, even though I was strapped for time while playing, I kind of wish that they had implemented the garden thing more. I mean, it did. I mean. I guess it felt, I don't know. I mean, I guess like playing it, there wasn't a time that I was like, I wish I had more garden, but like, I don't know, maybe like implemented it in like smaller portions somehow, like maybe had a large garden like they had. And then like, maybe like here, like just help me plant these couple of flowers in this garden, you know, in like someone else's garden. I don't know, something to kind of implement that more, a little bit, just a tiny bit more into gameplay, but I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that would have been just an extra thing.
So it looks like from the, if you go to the gardens from the main menu, there is a seed sharing function.
Oh.
So if you have seeds, you can send seeds and it'll generate, let me take a screenshot for you and show you, it'll generate a code that you can send to people, and then they can enter it from their main menu garden.
I love that so much.
And get seeds. Now, I went back in just now and logged in since it won't let me access my old save. It makes me go back to a new game. Mm-hmm. And so I only have like 1.5 pages of seeds versus all of the seeds that I collected at the end of the last game. Mm-hmm. So.
Interesting.
Do that at the end of your game, maybe, instead of the beginning of your game.
Yeah.
Or share your seeds with yourself at the end of your playthrough, if you're going to start a new playthrough, and then you'll have all these other seeds.
Oh my gosh.
For your Sky Garden.
So clever. So clever. Hacks.
Hacks, yeah.
So... did you have any favorite areas in the game that you just really liked the style of, like, you know, going into like the artwork and stuff, or, you know, like the interaction there? I think for me, I guess I really liked like going off more into the eastern part of the map of the town, going like past the archives, and you start getting into like the mall, like the mall area and that sort of thing.
Underused. It was like, you know, you go there once pretty much, and that
was it was underused. I mean, but no, actually, I'm going to change that. I think that my favorite area was just with like the background and everything was the boat trip with Tongue and Mew. And the boat kind of going through, like, you know, sailing in the water amongst those buildings was really cool looking.
Yeah. I really loved the canopy.
Oh, yeah.
Right there, blossomed, yeah.
Yeah. And even that, just like
that whole area where Nono's old hut was, where Dennis would usually just sit and meditate, where you did your euphoric garden.
Yeah.
It was just super, like, that's confession, Madeline's part of Madeline's, like, if this was a storybook fantasy, it would be like being really tiny and getting to live in a tree, like I was a little pixie. And so, like, but that's the Papu tree was so huge, like that kind of like gave that feel. So I really loved that whole canopy and
major
area.
Major Fern Gully vibes there.
Yeah.
Actually, I like to, you know, after I got, at first, it was really, for me, it was like a pain in the butt navigating the town. But after a while, you know, after about day five or so, you know, chapter three or four, you know, it's like, oh, okay, now that I know my way around, it's, I kind of like this town. You know, it's like, you know, everybody's, you know.
So with the music and art, I mean, I loved both of them. I mean, I think with the music, what I mean, I think to me, like, it's more the sound design, I think. Like, again, like, any game that has the, like, the tapping on a jar, like, fingers tapping on a jar for text, just, I love. Yes, that. I could listen to that all day. Like, that is, it's such a soothing sound to me that I love it. I love it so much. You know, and also, like, with the whole, like, I noticed, like, when, like, well, even with, like, Muse music, like, with her little house up on top of Nono's, and, like, you come out of the house, like, you come out of, like, your grandpa's house, and you hear that kind of, like, the music kind of, like, just faintly, like, just enough to where, like, you're like, where's that music coming from? It sounds like a bar. Oh, it's Muse. And you go up there and you enter in, and it gets like way louder. Like anytime that they have like her playing music or like the band playing, like the music volume shot up so much, but it was natural because, like, of course she has it playing extremely loud, and of course, like, the band is going to be extremely loud. And you feel like you're, like, shouting over the music in your head as you're, like, reading the lines to yourself. Yeah, I mean, it was super simple. And even, like, the artwork, the colors that they used for, like, backgrounds and pretty much everything was just spot on. I think that's also something I liked about the whole, like, the boat scene going in the water amongst the buildings, and then getting even to, like, the island. And also, that's one thing I was thinking of, going to the far east on the map, and you start getting these, like, darker, like, gem tones together. But yeah, like, it was just beautiful to look at, and super simple design, but everything, like, whoever did, like, the colors on this, like, knew, like, what colors work together and what colors complement each other, because it was spot on. Any other thoughts before we go into final thoughts and scoring for Mutazione? And I did the hand movement.
That's perfect.
All right. Well, I will take the hit and go first. I mean, I feel like that I've played enough of the game. Like, I feel comfortable scoring. I feel like I played enough of the game. I watched a little bit of the end. But yes, so pretty much what I just said, like, the color in this game and the art in this game was on point. The sound design was on point. The writing was on point. It was great. And even, like, the pacing of the story, like, even pacing of the chapters, of, like, what happens in the chapter and when it happens, and you have these escalations at the end and when you find out things, and the kind of, like, these slow builds of information, was very well done. And even just how the characters responded to each other, and, you know, not only the pacing, but also just how things were written. I don't really have you know, the gardening was really pleasant. I loved the whole that whole concept, and it went with the story. It didn't have any needless puzzles in it or anything. You know, I did think there were a couple times I was like, well, if someone doesn't like to play like a graphic, like doesn't like games that play like graphic novels, then they might not enjoy, you know, because there's not, you know, it's pretty much just texting and going, and, you know, there's not a lot of puzzle solving, you know, it's basically just visiting people and like in the garden, the whole garden aspect. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. I loved it. I said, like, I think if anything, I would just maybe like work in the gardening aspect a little bit more throughout the chapters, instead of just having just one garden, maybe work in like a couple of smaller things or something. Other than that, like, it was a gem. I mean, there were several times, and I was honestly afraid of this time, and I was honestly afraid of like streaming me finishing the game that I would start crying on stream, because like there were several times that I would like tear up just at like the dialogue or like things that resonated with me with the dialogue or things that were happening, and that says a lot. And or it could just be I'm over emotional today. Both things could be true, but mm-hmm.
I
would say that I'm gonna give it a I'm gonna give it a 10.
Whoa!
I'll give it a 10. I mean, it was for what you know. All right, Frank, you're next.
All right. Pretty much everything Steph said. It could have been just a fairly simple, you know, plot of, you know, bringing back nature and the gardens and, you know, the reviving the tree and all of that, but they really, really did a great job of telling stories in the town and mm-hmm. getting you involved with everybody who's in the town, and they're living their lives, and this is what's going on with them, and you know the slow reveals on everybody, what's going on with everybody, and you know how they're all interacting was really, really well done, everything else with the gardens and everything else, 9.5.
Madam, I really loved how deep they made the characters in this game, for as short of a game as it was, and for as many characters as they had in here. It would have been really easy to make them more two-dimensional or stereotypical, and I feel like the devs went out of their way to make sure each of these characters felt like people. And I super appreciated that. I loved the art design. I really loved the music. I've been posting in our Discord. I've been listening to the music like while I chart at work and like while I try and fall asleep at night. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. The soundtrack is on Spotify if you have Spotify. Please listen to it. It's great. I think that the gardening aspect was nice and zen, but it felt like a mini game more than a mechanic. And I think that they probably could have leaned into that a little bit more making it feel like more of an important part of the game. Mm-hmm. That's really the only thing I could dock this game for. So I'll probably give it a 9.
Okay. Nice. Do you have any thoughts, Chris? I know that you played some of it.
Yeah. I don't have too much to say, but I mean, I the only thing I will say is I think the more I start playing these games, dialogue heavy games, I feel like are no longer for me for some reason.
Oh no.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just I have a hard time staying invested in sure. and just paying attention because I just want to speed through through it all. But with this game, as I'm playing it, you know, I was getting bored at some points, but I could definitely see the appeal of why people like this game. So, that's all I have to say.
I will say that, like, because sometimes I find that as well with dialogue heavy games, like, not always, but I think it's just because some of the ones that we've played this year, I've been, you know, it's kind of hard to kind of stay focused and stay invested. One thing that, like, I kind of was noticing with this one that I think might have kind of helped, like, even with, like, the constant running around, like, you know, you had to run around kind of back and forth in between places a lot, was that there was always something going on in the background. Like, they were really good with, like, you know, like, you would walk through it, like, walk through this area, and you're just running, you're just walking or whatever, but, you know, a bird will fly, an animal will move, like, you'll see something moving in the background. And I think that helped a lot with me personally, with, like, just kind of to keep my mind kind of moving and not having it kind of fall asleep, like, or lull when, like, oh, I'm just running across, you know, or, you know, all right, cool, awesome. I get those scores tallied and get everything together over the next couple of days and post it. Thank you for chatting about the game. Next week we will be starting up a story that is a two-weeker. I don't have a stopping point yet. I will tomorrow sometime, or maybe even as soon as early tomorrow. I might do that tonight. But Epistory was released back in March of 2016, developed by Fishing Cactus, published by Fishing Cactus and Plugin Digital, and available on PC, I think, through Steam and GOG. Epistory immerses you in an atmospheric action-adventure game where you play a girl riding a giant fox who fights an insecto corruption from an origami world. As you progress and explore this world, the story literally unfolds and the mysteries of the magic power of the words are revealed. I'm actually kind of a little excited to start this.
It's a typing game.
It's a typing game.
Typing?
Typing. So here's the thing, y'all. Y'all can't, none of y'all can get any finger injuries that would keep you from typing.
No.
Okay. So safeguard your fingers for the next 2 weeks. No injuries.
No punching people.
Exactly. Because we can't have any finger casts that will keep you from typing at your best. Our next month chat is December the 1st, and it's A Plague Tale: Innocence. So if you're wanting to get a head start, you know. I feel like there was something else I was going to go over here. Oh, yeah, that I will get a stopping point for Epistory posted in Discord, all of the places, over the next day or two, probably tomorrow. All right, cool. So if you want more Game Chat, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcast under The Game Chat for all past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us over on Twitter at @the_game_chat or follow us on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for our current game. We might just read it on the show. You can email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net or email us adorable pictures of dogs if you want to at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. So come back next week where we're starting our chat about Epistory. So until next Tuesday, thanks for listening, and I'll chat you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.